And we're going to have an hour of open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Open topics for you. So we'll be right back. And welcome back to Coast. We've got open lines for you. Let's go right to the phones. Matthew is in Hercules, California. Get us started, Matthew. Go for it.
All right. George, synchronicity is beautiful. I want the callers to know that my message is one of hope, but I've got to tell you, 22 years old, growing up in the East Bay, 25 miles from San Francisco, not even in an hour south of Sacramento, drive 10 minutes one way, you've got rich people, you drive 10 minutes the other way, it's the exact opposite. What I want to talk about is military recruiting. Because I am 22, I was once walking around a mall, was tried to be recruited, and on the pretense of, hey, if you walk to your car right now, you can get shot. And I was like, yeah. And he's like,
but I mean, they were saying that to you as you were walking past the recruitment center or what?
I'm sorry. I'm kind of excited. So, yes, I was walking with a friend. We're both the same age. So back then I was about 19 years old, walking past the recruitment place. It was kind of in maybe late, so there wasn't too many people around in this corridor. And the recruit, I love the Army and everybody, you know. Every generation of my family has had everybody. I'm not anti nothing, no. But the statement was, you know, I tried to say, have you ever thought about joining? And I said, you know, I don't know if I could keep my composure under fire. You know, it'd be pretty hard for me to do something like that. And he said, you could get shot walking to your car right now. Not get paid for it. You go down and you sign up for the Army and we take you to Iraq or Afghanistan, you'll get paid for it. That's what I was told.
What a hard sell, huh?
No, but that's not but this isn't the worst of it. My age and stuff, growing up where I did, a lot of people loved the music where you were glorified if you said, oh, I don't like the cops, but the rap song is about hurting the cops and anti-government and everything. So I can give you off the top of my hand 10 people from the age of, you know, fourth grade to, up until a couple years ago, lived it, believed it, but out of sheer desperation because of the poor economy, were forced to go into the military, probably out of good intentions, but this is what I believe is the goal, is to take the people that are my age. And, you know, I've always thought for the past couple years, ever since that happened, you know, a bad world is one where the only people that say no to you
Do you think they want to just do you in?
No, I'm not saying do me in. I'm saying it's a systematic approach to getting people enlisted and people with kind of questionable backgrounds. I know people off the top of my list, just the people that I know, you know, from high school and the surrounding areas, because, you know, as a school district, you meet people that go to school, you know, live miles away from you. People that have been schizophrenic, people that had been, you know, suicide watch. We had people bring in a helicopter one time on the campus looking for this person in a creek. This person is in Afghanistan right now and has told firsthand account to people that I know that he's toured it and he's seen the poppy fields growing.
Oh, yeah, they're out of control.
No, but they're not ordered to shoot the people down. They're ordered. They know who's allowed to go and tend it, and that's who they're actually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm convinced, Matthew, that part of government, that secret part, they're in cahoots with them.
Well, I believe that too, and that's what's so disturbing is that a lot of these people, I believe almost, you know, like you said, I believe 95, even more percent of the people are good, but out of sheer desperation just to survive and take care of the people that they love are being systematically, you know, just forced into things.
Well, here's the bottom line, Matthew, then I'll let you go. You need to be very careful about who's in charge and what they really want to do. And when I say who's in charge, I'm not talking about the president. I'm talking about people above them who are doing whatever they do. Very manipulative people. Let's take another call. Truck driving in California. It's Lee on Coast to Coast. Hey, Lee, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you taking my call.
Of course.
Okay, my question is, I know you're very knowledgeable about the Sumerians, and I saw this movie recently, Fourth Kind.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
I've seen parts of it. I haven't seen the whole thing yet. Every time I do, someone calls me or there's a little emergency and I never finish it.
Uh-huh. Well, it really blew me away. You know what I mean? And in that movie, they have recording of what they say was aliens that spoke the ancient language of Sumeria. All right. And my main question is, like, they They called themselves God.
Right.
And my main question is, like, for example,
what's your question?
Okay, like, where does the word God come from? You know what I mean?
Well, it's been around for a very long time. That's a good question. I don't know how the word God developed, but it's very ancient. What you talk about, that movie, has to do with a story in Nome, Alaska, which we're working on doing a show on, where they have citizens mysteriously vanishing in a remote area of Alaska since the 1960s. This is true stuff. Now, why they're missing is speculation, but I mean, they're gone. Manhattan, New York, we go. East of the Rockies, Robert's turn. Hey, Robert, welcome.
Yeah, how you doing, George?
Okay.
Long time. I'm concierge in Manhattan, so.
Oh, are
I'm
you?
All night listening to you. Yeah.
Good. Interesting job. I bet you have more stories to tell us.
Oh, forget about it. Just looking out in the street at night.
Yeah.
You see crazy things happening. After you had the show about the guys in England, when he touched the ship and he said, "Oh, we'll come back from the future."
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "We are you." I'm figuring. I read a book a while back about genetic diversity, about the planet. And maybe it's us humans in the future will become related to each other and we can't reproduce no more.
Well, that's a good possibility. Linda Moulton-Howe's report on Thursday of last week kind of surmised that they were coming back from the future to genetically get some material they needed for their own time period.
Yeah, it makes sense from that book I read, because they were saying about how to keep animals in zoos. They can't use the same animals over and over again to reproduce. They have to get, like, genetic from other countries and stuff like that.
Wouldn't it be incredible to come back into time and just to be able to witness things? That I would like to do. Let's go to St. Cloud, Minnesota. Matt, welcome to the show. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, George. I got to say, first off, I love your show. You are the reason I stay up so late every night, and it's amazing topics. I thank you for everything you do.
And do you have a day job? So do we screw that up for you?
No, I'm a full-time philosophy major, and I do enough thinking as is. So this is my other esoteric thinking I get
I love
with you.
It. What'd you think of Aristotle and his philosophical ways?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I love, I actually just did a paper on Aristotle and his view of our reality being created by the senses, and the main one being sight, you know, which is based on my idea of separation and why we see ourselves as separate. I could talk to you about that for ages, but I'll get to the point. Big reason I'm calling, I've had an experience that started coming back again from an initial one I had when I was a little kid, and it stuck with me as vividly as anything. First I had surgery on my thumb, and I remember having my first out-of-body experience then. And after that surgery, I guess the next thing I remember, I wake up in my room in the afternoon. The birds are outside. I can vividly recall it. My mom, my grandma, and dad were downstairs, and I woke up because I felt like my wrist was being cut by this hot, cold knife, is the way I can explain it, I guess. I couldn't move. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do anything. I was above my sheets, and on my dresser, about 5 feet away, was this being, and the head and face, it was disproportionate, the body and head. The eyes were incredibly just pitch black dark, and the nose, I mean, it was your typical, gray alien, maybe.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I sat there for what felt like forever, and looking right through me. And all of a sudden, I could scream. My parents came up, and, you know, instantly they were saying it was a dream or discounting it. But I had, on my right wrist, I where it was, and I still do have, a straight line scar, but it was all red. Well, now fast forward to this now, I guess, or in the last about 2 years ago, I had an awakening, realizing many things. And the period we're ending and beginning. But all of a sudden, I started having these, I practice lucid dreaming and astral projection when I meditate. And I started having these almost astral projection type things where I would be looking at myself, and around my bed are six beings. And they're about 4 feet tall, and they're skinny. and dark, like black, almost like smoke. And they're all whispering fast, kind of like, I don't know if you can hear that, but you know.
Oh, I heard it. What are they whispering to you?
Well, no, but I couldn't understand. They're like really fast. And all of a sudden, about 2 months ago, I was with in bed with my girlfriend, you know, and.
Well, you don't have to tell us everything.
No. I was laying. I woke up. I'm saying, and she was all freaked out, and I asked her what was up, and she goes, "Do you remember last night?" And apparently, she hadn't slept. She said, "I stood up or sat up and started saying stuff in some language she had no idea it was," and I, though I had that same point, had that experience again, but I heard them clearly say, "We are here and coming." And that was the first time I've ever heard them.
So do you think this was an actual message, Matt, or do you think you were just dreaming?
No. This was absolutely, I very much into, the 2012, the end of this age. And I believe they're already here. And I remembered so many things then from when I was a child.
Well, a lot of people think they are already here. Matt, I got to take a few more calls here before the break. Let's take Diane in St. Louis, east of the Rockies, old hometown. They tell me you're getting a lot of snow and ice, Diane.
It's not started yet. I'm wondering if they hyped it so much and brought the National Guard in and spent...
That has happened before, where they talk about an incredible snowstorm, and it never hits.
Yeah, it's just a little bit slippery out, if you walk out on the pavement.
Yeah, well, be careful. But I think you're expected 7 to 10 inches tomorrow, so who knows?
Oh, I hope we do. I hope we... My son was doing the happy no school dance because they announced that tonight. He was dancing around the house. He's 10. Oh, no school. So I hope we do get dumped on it. We're long overdue for it. The reason why I was calling was that kid that called. I call him a kid. He's 22, but... first off, I graduated from grade school in 75. So back when, I'm going to say when I was about 6th or 7th grade, I went to a Catholic grade school here in St. Louis. There was a teacher, I wish I could remember her name. She was so cool. She was not a hippie, but she was sort of really kind of eclectic. She taught us health food. We had never heard about whole wheat bread. We were all eating white bread.
She was way ahead of the game, wasn't she?
Way ahead. And she also told us, and I wish that I knew, she even told us the name of a book someone had written. She said that the government, certain factions of the government and very rich people were in cahoots with drug dealers to keep the drugs in circulation and to keep certain bad things going on. And I remember we were just riveted and fascinated. We thought she was the most smart person, and she was cool, and listening to you and hearing different people say that, I've always thought, you know what she told us, I wish I could remember her name, she told us that so many years ago, and she was right on the money, and it's just kind of, it's interesting that
but you know what, years ago, for people to talk like that, people would think they were nuts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I came home and told Mom and Dad, we can't eat white bread. What, are you crazy?
Yeah.
What are they teaching you at school? And then one more thing.
Everybody ate white bread when we were kids.
Yeah.
The worst
yeah.
thing you could eat, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But and then somebody else had said something about God. I remember, I don't know if it was Deepak Chopra or Wayne Dyer, I think it was, said all the names for God in all of the different languages all have the ah sound in them, which when he said that, I thought, yeah.
Well, you know what? God spelled backwards. What's it spell?
Dog.
Yeah.
But it don't sound like ah. But you know, you think about that. If you start naming Yahweh is a ah sound, and God and Allah and,
well,
you know,
there's got to be some reason, Diane, for God. I'm going to have to find that. It's got to be in some ancient word. Molly is in Holiday, Utah, west of the Rockies. Hello, Molly.
Hi, George.
What's going on?
I just really have a comment about Egypt.
All right.
And sure. I'm going to make this very quick. I just realized that we have supported this regime for a long time, America. But the people there are fighting for freedom, democracy, and I think I feel bad being an American if we don't support them.
Well, here's the problem. We've been supporting Mubarak for so long.
Yeah, but this man has, the people don't want him anymore because he's been a tyrant. And I think we need to listen to the people instead of the government.
That'll never happen.
You know, why not? Why can't it?
No, I'm not talking about us as people, but I'm talking about us as a government.
Yeah.
Governments will never do that. They will always position themselves with the people that they think they need.
But this is sad.
Yep.
And I pray for the people.
It's a very bizarre situation out there. You know, in some cases, I see the pictures of them. They don't all look peaceful to me.
No.
Do they to you?
No, they don't.
Smashing things, going crazy.
They're very confused, and they want freedom. They want peace. They want democracy. And what we have supported is not that. We have supported the government there, which is. And I admit, I haven't done a lot of research on the Egyptian government. But from what I'm hearing, he's been sort of a dictator, and these people are suffering. I think, as a country of people...
Anybody who's been in office for 30 years, I think he's a dictator.
Yeah, I think so, too. And he wants his son to go in, et cetera, et cetera. But I think as people of America, we need to support the people of Egypt.
Well,
how do we do that?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe through prayer. I don't know, but I just think it's important.
All right. Those are your comments. William Henry was on our show during the first hour, coast-to-coast guest. He's in Egypt. He was heading for the airport with his group. Let's hope he got there, and he's okay now. By the way, are you a Coast Insider or a Streamlink member? You can be by simply going to coasttocoastam.com, and for just pennies a day, sign up. Now, here's a little update. They've told me they're tentatively, and here we are into February 1st. They're telling me that the app for the Android is supposed to come out this month. They thought it would happen in November. They had some problems. I guess it's not as easy as the iPhone apps, even though right now Android has now surpassed the iPhone for that technology, whatever it is. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll continue with open lines for you. And then I'll tell you a little bit about what to expect for the rest of the week on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I trust your Monday into Tuesday morning is going well. Check in with us. Open lines when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're moving into another month now, Feb 1st. We just keep clicking along. Here we go. Let's see. I think we do the time change again sometime in March this year. Spring ahead. 1 hour. Ian is in Toronto, Canada. Ian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, George.
You're welcome.
I have a question for you and your listeners. If the government of President Hosni Mubarak of Egypt were to fall to, I don't know, another regime, could that regime start to renege on the 32-year peace between Israel and Egypt, which would be totally a disaster for the Middle East?
I think they would have to, you know, take it back into their session. I mean, they still have members that get together, but... Yeah, they probably could.
I hope not.
Absolutely. I mean, Mubarak's been in power for 30 years, so nobody knows anything else.
True. At least he's stable. It's been good. He's kept the peace. So.
Well, it's gone now, though. I think it's over for him. Don't you?
Hope for the best. Yeah, I don't know. It depends which way the army goes.
You know, well, the army says they're not going to use force on the people, so that sounds like...
They say that now. It doesn't
mean
anything.
That's true. We'll find out in days to come.
Right.
All right, Ian. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
We'll go next to Oklahoma. Robin's turn east of the Rockies. Robin, go ahead.
Oh, hi, George. Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Did you happen to see that show? When are you going to get Alex Jones back on? He was on this show. I don't remember what it's called.
I'm on Alex's show, by the way, this Thursday in the morning, his radio show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. FM, AM.
He's all over the place.
Oh, okay. Well, I listen to him on the shortwave.
Yeah, okay. Or you go to Infowars.com. He might stream his show.
Okay. He was on, and they were trying to sneak into the Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove, years ago.
Uh-huh. Well, this was He was with these, I guess, reporters. They just wanted to know. They go up to the gate, and these guys show up, you know, and tell them to get out of there. So they think they're going to canoe down the river. And, you know, get on their beach and go up. Well, guess what? You know, these people show up, and they end up, I don't know if they caught Alex or not, but they got these other two, and
they arrest them?
Yeah.
Trespassing.
Yeah, trespassing. Spent 9 hours in jail, and then she's going, there's a woman with them, and she's saying, oh, well, you know, they need to, they can do whatever they want to, you know, they have the right, blah, 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 and I'm thinking, either they threatened her or something, you know. So, but they had like this great big owl or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have the owl and all. Do you know much about the Bohemian Grove and the kind of folks that go there?
It's something to do with the government and other people, the people in the high places. That's
yep,
all I know.
Absolutely. A lot of Illuminati's, a lot of people have been members of that. Next up, George is in British Columbia, Canada, first-time caller. Hey, George, how are you?
Hey, George, I'm a big-time fan, my friend.
There aren't many Georges out there.
No, I listened to it, and you and I are brothers, right?
A few of us. Then there's George Bush.
I'm thrilled to be on. Thank you.
You're welcome.
George, this is I wouldn't call, but this is an important night. I've been watching the news about Jerusalem and the sightings and watching the cell phone videos.
Yeah.
And please tell me your view.
Well, I got to tell you, to me, the
have
video.
You looked at a couple angles, though, George?
No, I just looked at the video that looked like, you know, big lights.
Yes.
So I couldn't see any structure. Have you seen any?
I watched a lot of the videos on YouTube because as soon as I heard, I hit it. And it looks good. It's a the light comes beaming down over the dome. And it slows down, and there's different views from those cell phone videos if you watch the YouTube.
I mean, clearly something is there.
Did you look at it? You just got glimpses of it?
Yeah, no, I was on a website today looking at it.
Well, as soon as I heard, I got online. It took a long time to search it, and you tell me. And at the timing is impeccable anyway.
This was over the weekend.
This was on the 28th.
Yep.
1 a.m. their time.
That's right. So who knows what's going on? I think whatever it is, I think it's the same object. It's going all over the place. The same one that was seen in New York, China. It's everywhere. Let's go to Scott Edgewood, Washington, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Scotty.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I've always wanted to talk about something that's a lot of people don't want to talk about. It's kind of like the elephant in the room.
What is it?
Population growth versus agriculture, especially in the developed countries.
Tell me your theory.
Well, we've got, 500 million acres here and 300 and something million people. And it's getting to be less than the adequate amount of growing area per person. And
one drought and we're in deep trouble.
We're in deep trouble. Well, all over. You start looking at what's happening around the world, you know, the weather patterns changing so radically, stuff in, you know, crop failures in South America and Africa and Australia is just getting hammered. And, you know, it seems to me that it's more of a crisis than our dependence on foreign oil. We're dependent on foreign food.
So are you saying minimize the population?
Oh, well, something's going to have to happen. We should have started, you know, limiting population growth 50 years ago.
What about forced sterilization? What do you think?
I don't know about that, but there should be some kind of control on who gets married, you know, who has children, some kind of like a some type of control in that area or education at least.
Well, education, yeah, but I don't want government to control anything more than they're doing. As a matter of fact, it should be less.
Yeah, well, we're outgrowing our capability of feeding ourselves. And with, you know, species extinctions all over the place, you know, certain species that we depend upon for our food supply are going extinct. Now, look at the honeybees. Look at, you know, the pollinators, the fish. The large fish species are just about fished out in some areas.
Yeah, well, no, that's true.
And, you know, nobody wants to even address this issue. It's kind of like, you know, nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Nobody wants to be the one to have to do what has to be done.
Yeah, well, people, you know, only see what they want to and can't imagine things that would change the way that they live. And all it would take is a gentle push from any one of a number of directions, and the food quits getting to the Safeway.
Doesn't China restrict the amount of kids you can have?
Yes, they're supposed to be, you know, one-child families, but that's caused another problem, too, because now they have how many million excess males?
I know, way too many.
And historically, their response to that is to have a war, burn them up.
Well, they've been doing that for a long time. Roger's in Statesville, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hey, Roger, go ahead.
It's in North Carolina.
It's in Florida, according to my screen.
Well, I live in Statesville.
We will take the screener and torture him.
Anyway, I just wondered, have you ever heard of anybody that had ever, well, now I used to have dreams about UFOs and stuff like that. And I had dreams that UFOs landed in my front yard and in my backyard. And one time there was one that had landed in my front yard. This is in a dream. And there were small creatures had come out, like about a half dozen or so of them.
Like the little grays we hear so much about?
No, these were brown.
All right.
About 3 feet, maybe 4 feet tall.
Like Wookiees?
Yeah, probably something
little
like
ones.
That. Yeah. And then there was another creature that came out, but it was flat. And it was kind of long, and it glided across the ground.
Like a snake?
Yeah, sort of like a snake.
Huh.
And if in a dream, if it touched you, you would die. Or your heart would stop beating.
Nice dream.
But now if you got up on something tall that you know, where the snake or whatever the creature would have to make a turn up, it couldn't do that.
What do you think the significance of this thing was? This dream?
I don't know.
That is one strange one, Roger. Let's go to Drew in Phoenix, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Hi, Drew.
Good morning, George.
Morning.
You know, I have a question. I keep hearing all this 2012 hype, and you know, it seems like everybody just keeps getting more and more in a frenzy, and I'm just curious as to if it's just all that, just nothing but hype.
Well, you know, a lot of things could happen, and one very distinct possibility is on December 21st, 2012, nothing happens.
Right. That's why I'm curious to see what happens December 22nd.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It just seems like we're just letting ourselves get all frenzied about stuff that does, I don't know, in some ways doesn't seem to matter. And it seems like, you know, the Western aspect of the world is the one that's freaking out. You don't hear all this rhetoric coming from, you know, Eastern countries, and I don't know. It just seems like we're just kind of feeding into our own fears instead of just laughing at it like we did the Y2K.
Y2K, yeah, you never know about that. Of course, I think maybe the publicity about Y2K helped force people to get things done.
Well, but isn't the publicity now kind of doing the opposite? It's kind of the same polar effect for 2012.
2012 is a strange one because everybody has their own theory. It's even I do. I mean, I think it's going to be a celestial event from the sun, like a burst of something.
So you actually think there'll be some actual
sun activity,
some shenanigans, so to speak?
Well, I just think sun activity is popping, and the Mayans were great astronomers.
But aren't we going through sun activity on a continual basis anyway?
Yeah, but it's been slow the last couple of years. It's going to really heat up.
I had one other question, too.
Yeah.
I heard that the Three Gorges, the dam in China has actually kind of changed the rotation of the Earth because it's pooled so much water together.
Really?
I'm not sure how valid that is, but that was one of the statements one of the guys.
Well, the Indonesian quake. Remember the tsunami that killed 250,000+ people, maybe more?
Right.
They say that altered the rotation of the planet.
Well, so if we have all these things that are altering the rotation of the planet, isn't that going to kind of exacerbate the...
Yes.
All of the what's going on with our climates anyway?
Absolutely. With everything.
The jet streams and everything seems to have changed.
Yep. And it is. The Tampa Airport. Google it. See what they've done because of the magnetic pole shift. Houston, Texas. Douglas's turn on Coast to Coast. Home of Billy Gibbons. Hi, Douglas.
Hello, George. I wanted to talk to you about the EMF problem that the high power lines are creating on a couple of neighbors here.
Yeah, what's happening?
They've got a problem with the power company getting them to move the pole to another location. They've got three transformers sitting on it, and it's grounded off into the ground right by their house, which is approximately 20 feet from their home.
And they want it moved, right?
And they want it moved, and they want $1.1 million to move that line and that power.
Who does? The power company?
The power company does, yes.
They want that from the neighbor?
If to get them to move it, it will cost them $1.1 million to move that, according to one of the residents. And he's already discussed it with them. And I think that's ridiculous. CenterPoint Energy should have moved it away, and transferred the power in, differently than having those transformers grounding out right close to their houses.
Anything happening to these people?
Not to the best of their knowledge, but I guarantee you, I've just now gave one of them the dirty electricity book that you talked about.
Good.
On one of your shows, and he's going to read it, and I hope that that they can get some sort of help from the state.
I'm going to buy a whole bunch of those filters when I get back to St. Louis in the spring. Let's go next to Charles in St. Paul, Minnesota. Welcome to
George.
The show. Hi, Charles.
I tried calling in weeks ago for one of the Super Soldier nights.
Yeah.
And I wanted to comment on genetically modified food back then and just how that's real bad. And wanted to mention you should have a guest who knows a lot about that on sometime.
Have you ever eaten genetically modified food?
Well, we all have if we've been around since the late 80s.
Tastes like cardboard.
Yeah, and it's been supposedly responsible for lots of symptoms if you've heard of Gulf War syndrome, where just a whole bunch of allergies to different foods and stuff.
Some people say that.
My little brother can't eat walnuts or bananas or any kind of really fresh food that's good for him. He says it all itches his mouth and makes his ears burn.
What's that got to do with genetically modified foods?
Well, I think when they go in there in the laboratory and they put these weird viruses and whatnot into our corn and our soybeans and our sugar from beets, that it gets into our cells at a molecular level and screws us up.
Huh, that's true.
It can, they actually take, I believe it's some part of the Ebola virus, the BT toxin, they inject it into the corn. And that makes every cell of the corn plant toxic to the bugs. They don't even need to really spray it with anything.
So what does that do to us?
It gets in our stomach.
Yeah.
And supposedly, even if we stop eating this stuff, which I have for almost a half a year now, it can change our gut flora and bacteria and make them producers of this chemical.
Do you feel better now that you're not eating this stuff?
I must say that I do.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go east. Dennis, you're in St. Louis.
Oh, yes. Well, I guess it is morning. Okay. Good morning, Mr. Norris.
Has the snow hit yet?
No, not right. It's wet out there. But it's nice.
It's not cold enough yet.
No, I'm hoping it passes.
It will be, though. It's going to be down to the teens down there, I'm told.
But you're here from St. Louis, so you know about our weather.
Oh, yeah.
Weather.
I know
the weather changes on a dime.
Springs and falls are the best, though, aren't they?
Yes, I like it in the fall better.
Yeah. We had a good fall.
You know, one of the saddest cases that woman down in Tampa, Florida, who killed her two children.
Yeah.
The reports on that to me is kind of sketchy because it sounds like she killed them out of stress or something like that because they were talking back to her or something, and then they just came out with that that she may have did it out of premeditation.
We'll find out.
And they also said that she was married to Army officer serving overseas. I wonder, and they haven't said he knew anything about it. So,
all right, that's our report from there. Truck driving west of the Rockies. Hey, Charlie, go ahead.
Hi, George. Good morning.
You
Pleasure
too.
To talk to you.
You too.
I just have a comment about the business there in Egypt. I find it ironic that Secretary of State Clinton has said that they've supported Mubarak for the last 30 years, and now all of a sudden, they want him.
Poof.
They want him to you know, they're promoting democracy. Why did they wait 30 years? It's almost like, I don't know, then, like the next time you do something, you're going to be in trouble. You know, it's been 30 years, and now they expect them to adopt the democracy.
Let's make a bet. I say he leaves office. What do you
say? Sorry?
I say Mubarak leaves office. What do you say?
Yeah, I think he should, too. It's also frightening that, you know, the people that are willing to take his place, like you said, the terrorists and stuff, that's what frightens me. But, you know, I know they're one of our biggest supporters there in the Middle East, and maybe they do have a lot of policies that we agree with. I just, you know, it's kind of silly for America to be pressing democracy all over the world. You know, I'd love to have a democratic, you know, democratic state in the Middle East. But for them to sit there and wait 30 years and then say all of a sudden, you know.
I'm not so sure they know how to have a democratic state in the Middle East. I really don't at all. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.